Says we're on.
What?
It's green. Says we're on. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 again. And we considered verses 8 and 9 this morning. And I want us to continue with this passage in verses 10 through 12 for this afternoon. And we're talking about loving life. And verse 10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile." And we started talking about just how it's natural, it's a human desire to want to have fullness in life, have peace in life. And if you understand the meaning of this word, or these two words, love life, that Peter talks about, for he that will love life, it simply means to be content, it means peaceful, it means pleasing, it means favorable. And it's a pretty normal thing, human desire, to want to have a pleasing, favorable, peaceful, contented life. But the Word of God gives us instruction on how to do that. And He says, "For he that will love life and see good days," and I would say it's probably something that we would want, to have less conflict and more peace in our life. Wouldn't we want that? But so often we shoot ourselves in the foot. So often we create the conflict because we don't put to practice and follow the biblical principles laid out for us. So how do we have less conflict? How do we have more peace? How do we have a pleasing and a favorable life? So we can look at our life and love the days, the good days that God gives to us. Well, we can start here. We'll just jump right into it. Peter says in verse 10, "Let him refrain his tongue from evil." Here's a good way to have more peace, less conflict in your life. Refrain your tongue. Keep your tongue. The Bible tells us that the tongue is an unruly member that no man can tame. This word refrain here, it simply means to stop it. Just stop. Quit. Restrain. Desist. Isn't that a novel idea? You know how sometimes you get into a little bit of an argument, a little bit of a debate, and it's just really hard to bite your tongue? Maybe you're one of those people that always kind of has to get the last word in. Stop it. You want to have more peace in your life? Have a favorable life? Quit. Stop. Refrain your tongue. It's an unruly member that no man can tame. Look in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. The Bible says in James 3 and verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." It's an unruly evil that's full of deadly poison that no man can tame. The Bible also warns us that our tongue is a member, a very small member, but it can cause such great destruction. Look in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3 of James. "Even though the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." He says the tongue is, even though it's a small thing, and he used some illustrations before that. He says we put bits in horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we can turn them however we want. There's the ship, and that small thing, that rudder of a ship, it can turn it, it can guide it, and it's so small compared to the mass of that ship. And he says the tongue is a small thing too, but it's a world of iniquity. Part of finding peace, having a pleasing, favorable, contented life, loving life, is learning how to keep our tongue. To bite your tongue. To just stop it. You know, sometimes the thought comes into our head and the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. But we do it anyway. Right? Or even our own personal experience with having a spat with this spouse of ours or whatever tells us, don't say that. You know what's going to happen, and you do anyway. And conflict rages. The Bible gives us an example of how much destruction our tongue can cause in our life. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? How they came and they said that they sold all of their land and they were going to give it all. But they held back a part, and remember how Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? The Lord took their life because of it. It's a serious issue, isn't it? It's a serious matter. The Bible tells us, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Learning how to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, learning how to let our tongue be under control of the Holy Spirit, is a step in the right direction to having less conflict and more peace in our life. You want to love life and see good days? Hold your tongue. Stop your tongue. Stop it. There's a direct connection between longevity and contentment in a pleasant life and keeping our tongue. Look at Proverbs 21 in verse 23. Proverbs 21 in verse 23, the Bible says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. That's a good verse to memorize, isn't it? It's a good one to put up on your refrigerator door, on your mirror. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. How much trouble and conflict do we cause in our own life just because we got to get the last word in? Have you ever had one of those topics, one of those issues that every time it comes up, it starts conflict and starts a fight? Ever had one of those? Sometimes, listen, this is the truth. And I'm serious. Sometimes there are things that it's just better not to talk about if we can't do it civilly, and if we can't listen, and if we can't really come to resolution on, it's better to just not talk about it and leave it alone. Because it actually doesn't do anybody any good. If it turns into argument, if it turns into strife, if we can't be civil, we shouldn't talk about it. Look at James chapter 1 with me. Go back to the book of James and look at James chapter 1. Verse 26. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Being able to bridle the tongue, that's not possible in our flesh, because it's full of deadly poison. We need the Spirit of God to control our tongue. Well, Peter tells us, hey, you want to love life and see good days? The first way to have less conflict in your life is to learn how to bite your tongue. That's a reminder for all of us, isn't it? Though we know these things, we need to be reminded of them. The second thing, turn over to our text again, 1 Peter 3. He says in verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The next thing he says here in verse 11 is to eschew evil. The word eschew means to abstain. It means to shun. It means to avoid. To avoid evil. Well, the Bible tells us that evil comes from within, from our own wicked heart. And we're to avoid that. in order to shun or eat that evil. We need to be walking with the Lord. The Spirit of God, again, needs to be in control in order to avoid those things. I want you to look at Job chapter 28 with me. Job 28. And verse 28. We're going to tie this together with Proverbs chapter 16, but verse 28 of Job 28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." All right, so the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and departing from evil is understanding. Now keep that thought and go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 in verse 6. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Skip to verse 17. "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." How is it that we depart from evil according to the Word of God? Well, in Job, he says unto man, to fear the Lord, that's wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. And verse 6 of Proverbs says that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If wickedness or evil comes from within, and avoiding that is something that brings peace and contentedness in life. Listen, what has it got to be tied to? It's directly tied to the fear of God in our life. Fearing the Lord is wisdom. Fearing the Lord is how we depart from evil. Look at, we're here in Job. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Again, this is a psalm really that Peter is talking about in our text, because we have these same principles. Verse 12, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Notice again the direct connection between having a life and longevity and departing from evil. Psalm 37, turn over a couple pages there to Psalm 37 and look at verse 27. "Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore." You see the connection here with avoiding, shunning evil and fearing the Lord. Listen, our perspective of God, I mean, really, the bottom line is the fear of the Lord should be the motivation for all that we do. I mean, God's always watching. The Lord's always seeing. My respect and my reverence and my fear of God, the one who can kill body and soul in hell, that should be my motivation for doing right and avoiding evil. He not only says to eschew evil, but he says to do good in our text. It's connected here. He says in verse 11, "Let him eschew evil and do good." To do good simply means to be a well-doer. If we're avoiding evil, walking with the Lord under the Spirit of God's control, that's when we're able then to be able to do good. The Bible says that in the heart of man dwelleth no good thing, though. So of our own, it's not possible. We need to be close to the Lord. The Bible, go look at Luke chapter 6 with me. Luke chapter 6. This is sort of connected to how what we considered this morning about our duty to each other, relationships and so on with one another. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, the Bible tells us, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So the words of Jesus Christ is to love your enemies and do good. Jesus went about healing, teaching, meeting the needs of people. Jesus went about doing good in his, to other people in his earthly ministry. Yes, we're to live right, certainly. But what about going beyond just living right and doing good to and for other people? How often do we make it a priority to do good for someone? Our evangelist brother Noah George, it's been a real challenge and a blessing to me in this area. I mean, in America, we take a lot of things for granted. And in America, there's always a program to help somebody else out. You know? We don't really think about the needs of others in this regard. And we want to give them the gospel and we want to meet their soul's spiritual need and so on. But there's a lot of physical needs that people have. And Noah George, living in the country that he does, ministering in the country that he does, working with refugees who have nothing, has helped me understand to a greater degree, and I think it's biblical, and I think it's the example of Christ, who went about healing and doing good, the Bible says, that there is a need to meet the physical and to be a blessing and a help to other people, which opens the door to the spiritual. We don't really think that way in America very much. Certainly we have opportunities for doing good unto others in our own church, but what about the lost? And this ties into what we said this morning, that selfishness will never bring contentment in your life. You want to love life and see good days? Selfishness is not the way to do that. And there's joy. Listen, for the child of God, there is joy that is unexplainable in serving people. I mean, I'll tell you, there are times when I spend hours and hours and hours in my office with someone. Not the thing that maybe I would normally just choose to do for fun. But there's nothing that brings more joy than serving people. After spending hours and hours and hours with someone and helping them in their life or pointing them to the Word of God, being able to make a difference, walking away from something like that brings a contentment that no selfish, whatever you want to call it, will bring. No selfish endeavor will bring. Psalm 37, in verse 3, turn there with me. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." The blessing of God that comes here. And I would simply say, this is the mind of Jesus Christ. Doing good to others. Certainly live right, yes. But working at doing good for other people brings joy and contentment. And you know, we have enough conflict and we have enough disagreement. And we have enough spat. We have enough argument to last more than a lifetime. How about we start putting some effort into, instead of arguing, well, we start putting some effort into doing good. Amen? He says, refrain your tongue. Stop it. Keep your tongue. Eschew evil. Do good. And then he says, seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace and ensue it. Job 22:21 says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Part of loving life and having a life of favor and that's pleasing is to seek peace with people. Job says, you acquaint yourself with this and you be at peace, and guess what? Good's going to come in your life. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peter says in our text here that it's not just enough to seek after peace, but he says to ensue it. It means we need to be humble enough to put others first and not be selfish, certainly. But here's how it usually works. You know, we can go back to the issue of the tongue. We can go back to relationships with other people. In disagreements, in arguments, so often we just want to get our point across and make other people see it our way rather than seeking peace and the good of the other person or for each other. That's often why the arguments happen, because all we want to do is get the other person to see my way and vice versa. Are you here? Why not hold your tongue and listen and try to understand exactly what the other person is saying and what they're actually meaning in what they say, and vice versa? And now we can actually have a real conversation that's going to be helpful and beneficial, and there's going to be a whole lot less conflict. And guess what the result is? Hey, there's peace in my life. Peace in my relationships. This is ensuing. Seek peace, but ensue it. Ensue means to follow after, in order, in immediate succession. You seek the peace, then you let it happen. After seeking peace, let it overtake us and make it a way of life. You know what the Bible tells us? To live peaceably with all men, as much as lieth within you. It means we've got to be humble first. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to be the bigger person sometimes and just bite the tongue and listen. I know it's hard to do. I'm certainly not perfect at that. But I do know that when the rifts stop, there's a whole lot more peace in my relationships and in my life. And I enjoy my life a whole lot more without conflict. You know, people say conflict is toxic. Well, it's partly true, but a lot of times we create it. Right? And we really ought not to have rifts going on between us anyway. And I would ask the question here, in light of the Word of God, is it your tendency to keep the peace? Or are you at the center of the strife? What's the secret to peaceful, contented, pleasing, favorable days? Well, he says, refraining your tongue, seeking peace, departing from evil. Those are all things that are necessary to have a pleasant life. Verses 12 and 13 are really the conclusion of this whole thing. And Peter says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Those who follow after these things are not only going to experience pleasantness in their own life, but they're going to have the Lord pleased with them as well. The Bible says that their prayers are going to be heard here. And the eyes of the Lord are open unto them. I wonder sometimes if we miss out on answered prayer, or we have hindered prayer because we can't keep our tongue, or because we have selfishness that really dictates our life, relational conflicts, and so on. The Bible says we follow these things and the Lord's going to be pleased with us, that our prayers are going to be heard. The eyes of the Lord are open unto them. And also there's divine protection in their life as well, according to verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? By following biblical instruction, we can find pleasantness in life. You know, when difficult times come, we find grace to make the best of difficult situations. When times are good, we make good situations even better. Pleasantness in the life, loving life, seeing good days. But on the other hand, the Bible tells us here that the Lord's face is against those that do evil. That's not the right way to go for a contented and peaceful life. I think we need to be reminded often how important it is to keep our tongue, refrain our tongue, make it under the control of the Holy Spirit, seek peace with people, do good to people. The flesh will always do the opposite. And may the Lord help us, amen? We need each other, and we need peacefulness in our relationships, and we all want good days and loving life. Well, the Bible gives us the formula for it. Let's ask the Lord to help us to do it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these instructions. Or would you just apply it? And may each one examine their own life, their own heart, their own relationships. And or if there's some adjustments, some areas that we need to do better at, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be determined by your grace to submit to your will, ask for your help. Lord, I pray that you'd build up and grow your people. Thank you that you desire to give us life and that we would have it more abundantly, and that you've also given us a way to do that. Lord, we need your grace, we need your Spirit to help us, to control us, to enable us. Lord, we can experience these promises if we follow that which is good. In Jesus' name, amen.